Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We're featuring the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. And on Wednesdays, we focus on the towns outside our headquarters here in downtown Ames. I'm your host for today, Paul Wearson, together with my co-host, Howard. Introduce yourself.
Well, it's the one and only Howard R. Hammond of Greater Slater, Iowa.
What does R stand for, Howard?
Ray.
That's my middle name, too.
Well, we got something in common.
I think we're going to go to heaven together.
Right.
Well, greetings, everybody, and greetings, Howard. And we also have a guest here today, and I'd like to introduce Emily McCulloch, and she is from the Boone Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to be talking on our segment here about a very important event coming up in Boone, Iowa, the annual Pufferbilly Days happening in Boone, Iowa. The weekend after this one, isn't it?
Correct.
What are the dates for that,
Emily? It is September 10th to the 13th.
So we are on September 2nd today. So that's a week from this coming weekend. Remember that, everybody.
Yes.
And now we're beamed out to our area here, of course, as any broadcast station. But, you know, in the modern era, people can stream on the computer. There might be someone in Austria listening to our program today, and I know Susan Franson, my co-host during the winter season, is up on a boat in the Great Lakes listening right now. So for all these people who are so distant, tell us what a Pufferbilly is.
It is actually a steam engine.
It's
how it, a small steam engine, and that's how it got its name. So, yeah.
And this is related to the great tradition and heritage of Boone, with the railway and
yes.
the railroads.
Yep.
And that's the reason for Boone eventually, or originally, and that's true of all towns in Iowa. In fact, the whole westward expansion, we saw in the history books that those towns festered and died if the railroad didn't go by. And Boone, to this day, is a big railway center. You have the headquarters for the Union Pacific Railway.
Yes, we do.
Over there. So it's still a very ongoing railway center, and of course the famous Boone and Valley Scenic Valley Railway is there year-round operating.
Yep.
And we've been over there. Susan and I did a road trip there a couple of winters ago. We were truly impressed by that. But tell us about Pufferbilly Days. I've got a brochure in front of me here. It's beautiful.
Thank
You've
you.
Done a fine job. And when does that get underway? What's the first day? That's Thursday, it says.
Yep. It starts on Thursday, and I'll just kind of go through and explain some of our events that we have. That night, it is a free entrance into the entertainment, and we start the night off with our Little Miss and Mr. Pufferbilly. So we get a crown, a king, and a queen, so we're excited for that.
Who's eligible to be queen and king of Pufferbilly Days?
You can be from infant up to the age of 12.
Oh, so this is a juvenile thing.
Yes, yep.
And is there a contest or a...
Yep. We'll have a little pageant where they can, you know, walk across the stage and...
Oh, is that right?
Get a strut their stuff, so...
My hip, that's just... I bet that's cute. How many contestants will there be typically?
As of right now, we have about 15. We are looking for more, so if you are interested in signing up, you certainly can. So,
well, I could dress appropriately, but I have trouble making the height requirement. Howard would be good in a tutu, I think.
Come speak for yourself, John.
So that's one of the first events to crown the royalty there.
Yep, and then we have our carnival, which this year on Thursday they are doing yet again their $15 unlimited rides armband, which goes from 6 to 8. So that's always a little highlight for the kids. And then our food court and our brat stand open, as well as the beer tent. And it's $2 Thirsty Thursday specials, so make sure you come out and enjoy. And then we also have our antique auto show, which will be on Story Street. And then we also put up, we have a photo contest, which we are still taking pictures. So if you have any you'd like to turn in.
What are the guidelines for the photo contest? Do they have to be related to the railroads or the festival?
We do have one that is Hidden Treasures in Boone, but we really don't. It's pretty open to what you want. So
So it's just going to be judged as a photograph, composition.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have three different categories. So that application is available on our website as are all of our applications.
Now, what's really unique here is that you're beginning the festival on Thursday, September 10th. usually these festivals in store in Iowa are opening on Fridays. So you already start this very early, don't you?
Yep. And then we have our opening ceremonies, which is at 6 o'clock. And this year, it's kind of a special opening ceremonies because Boone is celebrating their 150th. So during the opening ceremonies, we will have a time capsule opening. So we're excited to do that, which is incorporated with Boone's 150th. So,
you know, Paul, I'm thinking here as I look at the same brochure you referred to, seems to me I've got from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock before the opening ceremonies. That's going to put me in a scamper. There's six or eight things I'd like to do on that first hour. I'm going to be running my legs off to get from the food stand over to watch the kids parade.
Well, I tell you what, at Howard, at your age, we're going to give you a golf cart.
Oh, hey, Emily, can I get that arranged?
Absolutely.
All right. I think you can make it to all these things.
I'm for that. Okay.
We want to put Howard on wheels.
Howard on wheels.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. And I see also on Thursday nights you have fireworks. Is that right?
Yes, that's to say happy birthday to Boone. We decided to do fireworks this year. So that will be at 9 o'clock. If you come downtown, we'll have them. They are being shot off downtown Boone. So, and as well as right prior to that, we have 7 o'clock, the Midwest Rock and Soul Review Concert will be happening. So, and then we also have a historic walking tour, which is also incorporated into the Boone's 150th. And they will be walking downtown, kind of giving the history of each of the buildings, which will be pretty neat. So,
well, there's a nice – Boone has such a rich heritage. And one of my favorite places in Boone is Story Street, when you come in past all these grand homes.
Yes.
And, of course, your downtown is classic, too.
Yes.
There's so many beautiful things downtown, so many nice buildings. It's a healthy business district. Most of the stores are occupied. You can be very proud of your current business district in Boone.
Yes,
it's a good place.
Hey, Paul, before you move on, I'd like to quiz Emily if she doesn't mind.
This early
you're
in the
on
morning.
The spot, Emily McCullough.
I'd like to see how well grounded she is.
Okay.
Because you said about the fireworks about 9 o'clock and they'd be downtown Boone. Excuse me, but I have to relate this to our local situation at Slater. We have the volunteer firemen that do this fireworks for us, and they need to go to the baseball park because it's, I guess, if you don't know what you're doing and letting off many rockets and things. So that's, you said downtown. What do you know about how they're going to handle that?
You know, I was pretty surprised that they could do it as close as they are.
Yeah.
But the fireworks company that we have, you know, they certainly know what they're doing. So they said, you know, we'll be perfectly fine. So
okay, great. Well, so you got professionals from the fireworks company.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So
that accounts for it. Thank you.
Yeah. The days of a lighted cigarette and fuse to fuse are really over.
Okay. It probably is electronic.
You get killed doing that now.
Yeah. Right.
So then we move on to Friday. That's September 11th.
Yes.
And that's things sort of gather momentum here. You have a lot of events on Saturday, too.
Yes.
But on Friday, what's happening?
Well, Friday, we have it's $2 entrance into the entertainment, so pretty cheap. We start the day out at 9 o'clock with a quilt show, which will be at the Boone County Historical Society. And then at 11 o'clock, have your employees come downtown, and we have our food court and our brat stand opening. And then at 4 o'clock, our carnival will open back up. And 5 o'clock, we have our beer tent opening, which this year we have, we're featuring craft beer. So we have our Boone Valley Brewing, I believe it's Lake Time Brewery, and Alluvial are coming and going to sport out their craft beer. So we're kind of excited for that, something new, something different. Then at 6 o'clock, we have bingo with the Ogden Lions. And 7 o'clock, we have another walking tour. And at 7:30, we have the Final Mix Show Band Concert. And that pretty much wraps up for Friday.
Well, you have a lot of events on Friday, and what I like about it is it contrasts with Thursday. You know, every day has its own individual things that highlights that are attractive. Now, we need to remind everybody that Boone's unique in that the Historical Society has its own beautiful big building.
Yes.
So when you say the Boone Historical Society does the quilt show, that's in that building,
yes.
Then, right on Story Street.
Yep, and were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
One of the other things is after the time capsule is opened, they are also going to put on display some of the items that were in it. So that's another attraction for the Historical Society as well.
Then on Saturday, can you say that's the biggie, right?
Yes, Saturday
is the biggie.
This is our big day.
And that begins, Oh, 7 a.m. Howard, you're going to have to get up.
Oh, dear, again?
Well, you've already proven you can do it today.
Correct. Okay. So. I can repeat.
But you have to run.
Oh, run. Well, then I better take it easy on Thursday.
We'll recharge the golf cart overnight.
Holy smokes.
So, yeah, Saturday we start at 7 o'clock with our 5K, 10K run. So I'll be looking for you, Howard.
How many folks usually show up for that? Those are very popular events.
I think we get approximately about 200.
Really?
So it's a very well-attended run, and there is still time to sign up. So if you're interested, call us at the Chamber.
And then at 9 a.m., we start to get more stuff going on. What's going
on
at 9?
Yes, so that 9 o'clock, our craft fair opens, and then the food court, the brat stand, and the quilt show all open as well. And then at 9:30, we have our parade, which is quite the attraction. I think as of right now, today, we have about 100 entries, and we're still going to receive more. So we're excited to see how many we get.
How many bands usually come to Preferability Days? Are there several high school bands that come?
Usually we get about five.
That's pretty good for a parade.
Yep.
That size.
Ames is actually one of them. So we get a lot of the local bands that support us. So we're always looking for bands to come, though. So
yeah, and when I see a parade, I really judge that parade by how they space the bands. You know, when I go to a parade, I want to see music or hear music throughout the parade. So I'll be looking for how those are spaced.
And last year I sat in with our parade coordinator and watched her do the layout. I never realized what it entails
to lay out
a parade. Yeah. So it was a learning experience, and I'm glad I got to experience it. So
you know, all these things sound so easy when you see them on the schedule, but they're all composed of a lot of phone calls and work and committee meetings and things that they probably began working on Preferability Days for 2016, right after this festival's over.
We give our committee about a month break, and then we dive back in. So
that's a good idea. Yeah. Don't even think about Preferability's for
Emily, I got a clue for you. Why don't you take back to the chamber and the committee that's heavily worked on this? You know of a fellow at a radio station over at Ames that likes to see the bands spread out, and that's what he just said, spread out in the parade. That's a candidate for a judge, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Are you looking for judges? Oh,
people will find out where I live. That's judging is the most dangerous thing in the world. You know, I helped judge the Bill Riley show at Story City when we have Scandinavian Days, and that really truly is difficult. And you just don't make any friends that way. Then, but the parade is really, that's an early start for a parade. A lot of them start at 10, but you have a really large parade, too,
yep,
don't you?
And ours ends about noon, so we try to keep it a steady flow, but try to get it done.
Now, your carnival there, is that one of those classic traveling carnivals?
Yes, we have Smith Amusements, and they come every year since I've been here, and they have a lot of neat little rides that they have. So
are they set up near the downtown?
Or yes, they are actually right outside of our entertainment center. So
everyone can go there, and it's right in the mix. You can bring your children over there. That's good. They can, and there's space downtown for that, too.
Yep.
I have to visualize that, Howard. How do you put a carnival downtown?
You spread it out down the street.
I think there's a way, and Emily knows. Emily knows. That's great. Now at 1 p.m., we have you have bingo games again, and you've got a motorcycle show at 1, sponsored by the Abate folks.
Yes, they help us. This year we did move it. It will be located on 8th Street in front of U.S. Bank, so that'll be something different. We also have at 12 o'clock, it says bags game, which that will be a bags tournament. So if you like to play bags, come on out. So
yeah, that's a fun game. I like that. Yeah, it takes a good hand and an ability to slide. You know, you just have – there's an act to it, Howard.
Correct. I've not even practiced, so I won't show up.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's fun. And then you go down the schedule. You've got the kids
Choo-choo Fun Run.
Okay, now tell me about that, the Choo-choo Fun Run.
It's more of a fun event for the kids. It's not really – I mean, it's it's competitive, but it's – something just fun for the kids to do. So we're excited to have
again. They run, and what's the distance they run?
Good question. You've got me on the spot.
Aha. That's the only thing Emily hasn't known. Yeah. Well, we'll do research on that. But it's not going to be something where kids have to be hydrated every 10 seconds or anything.
And the YMCA is actually the one that puts that on for us, along with the 5K, 10K run. So they really step up and take over that event for us, which helps us out a bunch. So,
and then at 2, it gets very interesting. You say tailgate party.
Yes.
Now, this is for both Iowa and Iowa State.
Yes.
This sounds like a recipe for a serious fist fight.
Oh, we have a couple TVs that we'll have going.
Well, that's the actual Iowa State-Iowa game, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking that's not this weekend, but next weekend, that is the big game.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's really good you're doing this because a lot of people who might not come downtown will because they want to be in touch with what's happening
in
the game.
So. Right, yep.
Good idea. And I hope there are no serious problems.
I hope not either.
Everyone behave yourself, Iowa and Iowa State fans. And then you have the walking tour again, too. That occurs periodically, so a lot of people can take advantage
right.
of that.
Right. And that's Saturday is when all of the 150th events kick in. So around 2 o'clock, we start out with the historic walking tour. And then we'll also have ballroom dancing demonstrations.
Well, now this is what Howard's good doing. Yeah, he goes to the Lake Robbins Ballroom, and he makes Fred Astaire look like a real.
That's
animal.
Who's doing it. So
Fred and Arthur Murray.
Remember Arthur Murray?
Well, I put them both to shame.
You have to be older to know
Murray. You got to have a few gray hairs to know what that is. Yeah.
Right. Yes, Howard is a good dancer. So there you go, Howard. Mark that on your calendar.
As marked, as a matter of fact, there's a committee underway to make that very well done. So there's people on Emily's committee that have been in touch with the ballroom at near Woodward. And they are hopeful to do a very represent themselves very well in the ballroom. So
yes, we're excited to have you guys.
Hope there'll be a lot of folks there to enjoy what's going on in the dance activity.
Well, if Howard's there, it'll be redubbed Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, that'll work.
I'll make sure I'm there to see this.
Okay, brother.
We're a tie, Howard.
Gotcha.
That's true. And then you have a flash from the past photo booth. That sounds interesting.
Yes, we're going to have dress up, such as we'll have Kate Shelley. You can dress up and take a picture with the lantern. We'll have fun things like that, so we're excited for that. We'll also have some kids' games, which will be at 8th and Story. We have a big green space there. And then we'll also have in the same location, we'll have a hat decorating contest, a beard contest.
Now, a hat decorating, is that just Katie bar the gate? You can do anything you want.
You can do anything you want.
Wow. Your imagination could run wild. Our engineer, Jonah, here is going to be in the hat decorating contest.
Oh.
I've just seen him anticipating that on the list. So good luck, Jonah, and don't lose your hair on this one. Now, it's at 7:30, you've got a concert. That's the Toaster concert.
Yeah, they were here last year.
Now, who is the Toaster? Is that a band? Or?
Yep. They do a wide variety of music, so, you know.
So they, this is a dance too, or just a concert?
Just a concert. Yep. Mm-hmm. They do anything from rock and roll to pop. So
now, where's that held? Is that downtown?
Yep, that'll be at downtown on close to Story Street. You'll see the big tent. So,
I guess we're favored here, listeners. We have before us, as Paul's already mentioned, a very, very, very well done brochure. And so when Emily's mentioning it's on the stage, it's on Story or here and there. There's a very well done, in my opinion, very well done map here. So if you come on the grounds, and Emily, not putting you on the spot, but I suppose these brochures have been widely distributed or will be?
Yes, and we also put them on our websites just to make it easy access for.
There you go.
That's one of the best maps I've ever seen.
Amen.
Because it's clear, concise, and someone like me who needs assistance with spatial things. Will not be lost in Boone.
Of course,
the parade route.
Of course, there's those people that say poo-poo on the paper. I'm going to my GPS or that sort. But that's all right. But this everything we're just citing that you've mainly mentioned is here listed day by day.
Well, see, I'm an old guy. To me, GPS is a delivery service.
So?
Yeah, I've never heard of GPS.
Which our website is www.booneiowa.us. So if you want to see it. Because obviously it is hard to get to all locations with it, but
so they can go on the website now and really get up to date on all the things that are going to be happening.
Yes, we have the schedule, we have the map, we have all of our applications.
And you might want to repeat that again. So anyone who just got out of
So
see, when someone says something on the air, they say it, then I get the pencil out, and then they don't say it again.
Yep.
So please say it.
It's www.booneiowa, and you spell out Iowa, .us.
Good, good. And that's how people can get online and find out all the stuff about Puffer Billy Days.
Yep.
Now, this festival continues on Sunday, so we're going Thursday through Sunday. That's a very ambitious festival for a typical Iowa community. I'm very impressed. On Sunday, Puffer Billy Days bike ride.
Yes, and we still have openings for that. So
that begins at 9 a.m., is that right?
Yeah. Yes, 9 a.m. So if you're a biking enthusiast, please sign up because it's going to be a fun ride. We'll have it going from McCose Park in Boone to the Iowa Arboretum, which will be a beautiful little ride that they'll have.
And then it says 9:30 church service. Is that sort of a non-denominational service that's held?
Right. Yep. And that'll be – it's church in the park. So it's just
– Is that McCose Park? Or?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
See, and I know my Boone geography.
Yeah. Yep.
McCose
and it's out at
Park.
The Herman Park and – We have it under the little pavilion. So.
And then on Sunday, you continue with the, the food court is open again.
Yep. And our craft fair opens at 10. And we also have mud volleyball.
Mud volleyball. How are you perking up again?
I know all about that. We've done that for a series of years in our Slater celebration. And people almost disappear from the parade running to where the volleyball.
So mud volleyball is really cool.
Oh, cool, yeah. 20-some teams participated this time for us.
Yes.
Is that right?
So get ready.
Yeah.
Get
we have 32 slots, and it's amazing because they always fill. We do have a few spots available. So if you're interested, sign up. This year we also have a contest, costume contest. So if you want to bring your tutu out, you totally can, Howard.
Ho, 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 ho. challenges.
Guess what? I'm going to get people in the mood. Now Joan is here waiting to punch up some music for us. This is something that is really going to call up that spirit of Puffer Billy Days. We're just going to take a little musical break here. Listen to this. It's cool.
Good shot.
Come and ride the Boolean Scenic Valley Railroad. Turn back them old hands of time. See the beautiful Des Moines River Valley on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line. I love to hear that old train whistle blowing. I love to see the steam fill up the sky. I love to feel the wheels below me rolling on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line. When you ride the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, your journey through the past will ease your mind. Cross the high bridge in the Des Moines River Valley on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line. I love to hear that old train whistle blowing. I love to see the steam fill up the sky. I love to feel the wheels below me rolling on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line. All aboard the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, through the hills and valleys you will climb. Exciting thrills and fun for those that's riding on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line.
Folks, come and experience one of Iowa's great attractions. Cross the highest single-track interurban bridge in the United States as you ride in vintage 1920s passenger cars or turn-of-the-century caboose. View spectacular scenery on this very impressive 14-mile round trip. So all aboard from May through October, 11th and Division Streets, Boone, Iowa.
See the beautiful Des Moines River Valley on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad line.
Yes, the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway. That's a great song. As a matter of fact, our backtracking theme is from that same group. And so we love that band, and we love that sound, and that music, and that particular selection fits in beautifully with what we're saying today. And I just want to finish up here on Sunday, because yes. We don't give Sunday short shrift here.
Right.
Well, we talked about the mud volleyball.
Yep.
Family Fun Day, and that's sponsored by
CDS Global.
Yes, and what's going to go on with that?
We have 3 inflatables coming, and last year it was our first year doing it. We heard lots of great reviews over it, so we decided to bring that back. We also have, at 10 o'clock, we have our horseshoe tournament. Then at 11 o'clock, we have our pet show, a barbecue cook-off, the spelling bee, and our quilt show. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll have the historic walking tour, and at 3 o'clock, the craft fair closes. And we'll also have disc golf tournament, so if you're interested in that, check out the website.
I am super impressed that you can do a 4-day festival and staff that. Now, that's my next question, because when Susan Franson and I went to see the folks at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway, he told us that there were needs year-round at different levels for what really are hundreds of volunteers.
Right.
And then I'm thinking that when you look at a festival like this, in most towns, it's a once-a-year demand for volunteers. And I'm just wondering, in a town like Boone, where there's such a year-round opportunity for volunteers to burn out, how is recruiting for this festival, volunteer-wise? Is that working out for you?
We are doing pretty well. We do still have a few spots. The beer tickets and the admissions gate still needs a few volunteers. So if you're interested, give us a call. But it does take hundreds of volunteers just to put the festival together. So, you know, without them, this festival would not be possible. So we do appreciate all the help that we do get from them.
There's another opportunity for Howard, if he's bored, to come and volunteer. Of course, he's such a big guy down at Slater, so.
Well, I'll have to get my skateboard or my skates out or something, because if you're getting me a golf cart early on, I think I better get exercised. If I want to participate, I want to do it full blast.
Well, Howard, I want you to memorize this map so you don't run into a lamppost.
Well, I already did that while you were talking. I got that down. Yeah, right.
That's terrific. Well, you know, this has really been fun, and how long have you been with the chamber over there, Emily?
I have been there for 3.5 years. This will be my 4th Pufferbilly Days.
So you know what you're talking about.
Yes. Kind of.
Now, out of 4 Pufferbilly Days, what's your experience been with rain? Have you been lucky?
I've never had rain.
Really?
Fingers crossed, knock on wood. I'm hoping no rain this year.
Now, we're broadcasting today on a day when my windshield wipers has been raining today. So
yes.
We're going to get it out of our system now, and no one wants it to rain during the Iowa State game. And I really want to stress to you folks who might be planning to come to this festival that you're not giving up the Iowa State game. You can watch that over there.
Yes, yep, we'll have that. And I also do want to throw out that on Saturday and Sunday we have a Civil War reenactment. So,
see, that's my thing.
Yes.
I'm a Civil War aficionado. In fact, tonight I'm going to be at the Civil War Roundtable in Des Moines where we have book authors and various experts on various aspects of the war come, and we meet and have dinner. And you know, tell me about that. I'm particularly interested in that.
So we have them coming, and one of the fun things is they'll do a Civil War demonstration. We're going to have a ladies' fashion show, and one of the fun things is they're going to do a night battle, which I believe hasn't been done since 2001 in the state of Iowa, if I'm correct on that. Don't quote me. And then on Sunday, they'll have encampment and another battle. So we're excited.
All these reenactors, everything is authentic.
Yes.
And these poor guys are wearing long underwear and woolen uniforms and all the stuff that the Civil War guys actually – everything is authentic. And so I really recommend that. And I've never heard either of a night battle. It's almost always day. So,
yeah. So I'm excited to see it.
You know, I'll express an ignorance here. Aren't we into celebrating the 150th Civil War activity, too?
So yeah, this whole year has been
– History.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Howard. Now, he's been to school. Yeah, it ended in 1865, and this is the 150th anniversary of the Lincoln assassination, all the events
– Double.
Culminating with the end of the Civil War, and all over the United States we've had commemorations of Civil War events since we are at the 150th. And that's also where Boone is, 150th anniversary.
Yes.
That's called the sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
Hard to say that. Sesquicentennial.
Reflecting on your thoughts on how you get the volunteers to come together, a sidetrack comment here, if you'll permit it. We had our 100th anniversary of our city of Slater in 1989, and there was hardly anyone in the community that was not involved in some way. With 1,500 people in the city, now you got Boone, of course, you got mm-hmm. numbers, but this is when you enter the history of the city and you've got anybody around that's lived for a few years that's been in this, it's not difficult on a special occasion like this to get people to step forward. So right. I commend the people that have been behind your planning.
Yes, and we appreciate them very much because it makes my job a lot easier when I have help.
Well, now, this has been fun today. Once again, everybody out there, remember the Boone Pufferbelly Days celebration starting on Thursday, September 10th, and running through Sunday, September 13th. And our guest today has been Emily McCulloch with the Boone Chamber of Commerce. Emily, it's been delightful.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck, and I hope you're record on rain stays intact.
I hope so, too.
We wouldn't dare rain on your parade. And now we're moving to our next segment today. We have our agricultural segment every Wednesday, and we want to introduce the agricultural segment today, hosted by our own reporter, Greta Anderson.
Welcome to Tuning Into Agriculture, a locally produced segment airing every week at this time during Wednesday's edition of Local Talk. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. According to my guest in this segment, we've had a total of 36 inches of rain this growing season. More than enough, to say the least. Driving around this rich farmland we know as the Des Moines Lobe, you'll see areas on practically every farm field where the rains have gotten the better of the crop. You might also recall having seen those exact same places flood the year before, and the year before that. We've had a real succession of extremely wet growing seasons. So what, I asked, are farmers doing about it? I contacted Dana Holland, the district conservationist of the NRCS, for Story in Marshall Counties. I asked him, are more farmers than usual putting their flooded lands and wetlands under the CRP program? Dana answered in the affirmative. It's been a very busy season for him in his role assisting farmers with the field analysis that is needed for a CRP application. The CRP, or Conservation Reserve Program, is a federal program that takes vulnerable farmland out of production to prevent soil erosion, improve water quality, restore wildlife habitat, and especially in the case of wetlands, to mitigate the effects of heavy rain by building the capacity of natural water systems to hold excess rainfall. Over the course of a CRP contract, which usually lasts 10 years, the farmer is paid a stipend for not disturbing the land with tillage and cropping. Dana Holland connected me with Jerry Ryerson, a farmer who this year established 120 acres of wetland on his ground on the east of the Skunk River. Jerry had to meet me at the roadblock as I approached his house yesterday. The road had been flooded out by Friday's torrential rains, which were centered in North Story County, but reached 2 feet of flood stage on his and his neighbor's ground. Another neighbor pulled up in his pickup and were discussing the event, just as I met Jerry.
We spent yesterday getting his cattle out of the field. Hey!
There's a roadblock up there anyway!
Isn't that something?
I guess.
Is the bacteria going to get in the crop?
Huh?
Is the bacteria going to get in the seed?
Imagine well if it got up to it.
Well, in 10, you know, we couldn't harvest it because of the bacteria. They got gray and they wouldn't take them. We had to destroy them. I destroyed 500 acres and some of the best beans I ever had. And we found cattle all over up here.
None of mine got out. There was one that was on the outside of my fence. You can see where it bent up and down. I don't know whose it was.
But, you've got all yours.
Yeah. Well, I better get going.
Okay.
I got a bunch of hay down.
Well, you got it washed.
Yeah, they got it worked off good.
Yeah.
Jerry took me in his all-terrain vehicle past a cornfield with standing water.
The whole area was underwater. You can see it didn't make it up to the ears on this crop, so there won't be any bacteria in the corn. So this will be harvestable if it'll stand.
Then we went out to his newly established wetland.
We have 120 acres. It goes clear over to the trees, bends around the poles. There's an 80 over there and a 40 here. And it's got bios that I've cleared out, the trees. But it's done 200 bushels on corn. But we have an awful high risk rate here, and our insurance is very expensive for the crop insurance. So with the day's production margins being so tight, if any, the program looked very lucrative to go ahead and put it in the wetlands program and not have to have all that risk with it and still be guaranteed a payment that was above what we could make for it farming. And so I put oats and switchgrass in here early spring. And the idea is to keep the ground cover until the switchgrass gets established, which could be a year better, just so we don't lose the dirt. Keep it productive, but yet don't let it erode.
So switchgrass is a marshland crop? I didn't know.
Yeah, there's a wetland switchgrass. It's got deep roots. It's a perennial and keeps coming back. Keeps the cover heavy enough that once I get it established, there shouldn't be a lot of maintenance to it other than burning it once in a while. And that rejuvenates it and comes back better. This farm's been in production for at least 50 years. It was all timber at one time. I bought this 10 years ago and farmed it up until this year. And I've got another piece down south. It's only 30 acres that I've done the same thing to. It's right along the rivers right over there. We used to get a lot of debris on it when we go to harvest, and that was detrimental to the equipment. Economically, in today's world, this is the best way to handle this.
Can I ask how much you get an acre for from the CRP?
Over 300. And also, there's a maintenance program where if you have to do something to it, they can give you 80% of your cost to do that. So by the time I take my taxes off of it, I've still got $300 an acre. And anybody will tell you today that if you just can't make $300 an acre farming. The wetland program is based on the hydrology of the soil and the land. And since I have these bios, there's several over there and there's some up north.
Bios?
The old river channel. This is the old river channel from years ago.
Oh.
And if you look at it, I can show you on the map. If you look at it, you can see them. And we didn't have to come in here and do any dirt work to establish standing water or anything like that. The other field that I put in, I had to dig a depression 6 inches deep, 2 acres big, which is minor stuff.
To provide a holding capacity
yeah.
for water.
And by doing that kind of a system, in 10 years when the program plays out and I don't decide to re-enroll, I can put this back into farmland. I've got that flexibility. But you can see on 120 acres, if you get much of this, it will produce if it's not heavy rains. But other than that, you've got your input in it and no return.
Of the last 10 years that you've had this ground, how many years have been hurt by heavy rainfall and standing
There's
water?
There's probably in the last 10, only 3 years that the water hasn't flowed over it.
The water hasn't flowed.
And to qualify that, sometimes it'll just come in and go right back off. It depends on how long it stays. It depends on the maturity of the crop when it hits. If the corn is small and the water goes over it, the dirt can get in the whirl, and the bacteria in that dirt will kill the corn. But if it's taller, the risk at that point is if the water comes in and the sun can hit the water, it's magnified, and the reflection on the plant will kill the plant and turn it to a mushy brown protein, and it just smells terrible. And then in 10... when the water got above the ear, then we got the bacteria in it and weren't allowed to harvest it. We just had to grind it down on the ground.
I decided to traipse out into one of the bios. That's B-A-Y-O-U, for those of you who need a visual, to see how deep it was.
Oh.
It reached the bottom of my shorts, over 2 feet deep. And that was after the floodwaters had already receded a bit. Jerry then picked me up in his all-terrain vehicle and we headed out to the river. Turns out Jerry's not just in it for the money. He's passionate about doing the right thing for the river and about his connection to the land. He showed me a stand of 1,000 hardwood trees and how he uses the technology of his planter to reduce the seed population on his field according to the fertility of its different parts. This also reduces the nitrogen he needs to apply to grow the crop. We checked out the oxbows of the Skunk River, those curves caused by a fallen cottonwood tree, and how they cut out the bank on the opposite side. And we discussed the pros and cons of riprap.
We need to stabilize the opposing banks so that it can't cut.
Right.
Let it meander. Just see, eventually this will get so steep that it'll eventually go through straight again. That's just nature. Do something to, so that it can't cut anymore. Okay. Now, there's old technology. You could take a bunch of old tires and bolt them all together, make
right.
a mat,
and they
will never go anywhere. Now, they won't let us do that, you know, because they can't put rubber in the river. It's a tough issue to be ecologically and environmentally sound. Look how much dirt came off of this one oxbow.
Jerry Ryerson said that when he bought this piece of land 10 years ago, he brought his 90-year-old father out to show him, a father who had lived through the Depression and lost land in the farm crisis, and how his father had shed tears of joy at his accomplishment. Jerry also showed me how fun an all-terrain vehicle can be when there's 2 feet of standing water. This season's heavy rains are not the only reason the CRP, or Conservation Reserve Program, has become popular. Another very important reason is that last year, the fee structure was revisited and revised upward in response to the increasing farmland prices and rents of previous years. That means that farmers can now receive more money from the federal government for not cropping their land. Ever since then, farmland prices, farm rents, and most importantly, commodity prices have actually fallen, making the higher rates for CRP more and more competitive. Furthermore, 10 years ago, 1995, was another high water mark, so to speak, for the Conservation Reserve Program. Since 90% of CRP contracts last 10 years, now is the year for many landowners to re-enroll the land covered by their expiring contracts, if they so choose. Anyone whose land meets the criteria for CRP or wetlands may apply for federal CRP funds. There is no limit in how many acres per county, for instance, can be enrolled. Eligible ground has to have a crop history. It cannot be pasture land. And participants have to be already enrolled in the USDA Farm Program to be initially eligible for CRP. So some administrative details have to be taken care of before CRP gets put on the land. Anyone in Story County who is interested in enrolling their farmland should contact Dana Holland of NRCS or the Farm Service Agency, which actually administers the program and shares a building with NRCS in Nevada, as in every county seat. Again, we'll have those links on our webpage, khoifm.org. This has been Tuning Into Agriculture with your host, Greta Anderson, and music by Robert Schumann. The Happy Farmer.
Well, it's another fine day here, and that's interesting. We have our agricultural segment. I really like the fact that we have that, and it really adds to our program. And also, it's sort of a discipline to make sure that we handle all of the ag issues that have come up because we're in central Iowa, Howard.
Well, that, that figures. There'd be many listeners out there that think we were a little delinquent if we didn't pick that up on a regular basis, and I think it does add to the program.
Well, as an old farm boy, and we're both old farm boys, I guess.
10-4.
Yeah. You know, agriculture is our lifeblood here in central Iowa, and since we've had that ag segment, I'm really happy that we do that, as I said. But it's an honor opportunity for people to learn something apart from whatever our program material is for the day. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed having that on.
It was especially timely today with agriculture. Where would agriculture be in Iowa without the railroad system? Pufferbilly, Boone, Iowa, that all fit, didn't it?
I know. And, you know, Greta does such a fine job on that segment, too. I must say, Greta is always out there getting her story and being very professional. And I really appreciate that ag segment we have on local talk. And I think that we're looking ahead at planning some things. One thing that I'm looking forward to that I'm really keeping, and maybe Howard, you ought to come on this trip too, I don't know, to the Picket Fence Dairy over there by the Lake Robbins where you go dancing.
Yes.
And we tried to interview them this summer, but you know, they said, please don't come because we're so busy. So they must have a great business there.
They're in the ice cream making.
They're in the ice cream business.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a great thing, the Picket Fence Dairy. And I'm looking forward to that segment we'll be doing this fall when their schedule clears up a little more and we can actually go visit them over near Woodward. In fact, that's just a nice little segment down there on the gravel roads. You have that Picket Fence Farm, and then you have Lake Robbins Ballroom, and I enjoyed that road trip that Susan and I took so much because, well, that ballroom is like a mirage in the desert, out in the gravel roads, and you walk in there, and it's like time stood still, and I expect to see Sinatra and Tommy Dorsey and all the people who've been in that
been there, and it's existed 83 years.
And that's the same floor.
Yes.
And then it just fascinates me and sparks my imagination to know that, man, World War II, the Depression years,
held on.
The 50s.
Kept going.
You know, it's just like walking into history. I've never been so amazed to see a place in terms of the location. And then when you walk in, it's just a warm feeling like, I'm the millionth person to sit in this chair or something.
Well, in addition, they put out good food there, too, either during the dance time or the band time. And it's many, many special occasions there for receptions and weddings, et cetera, in addition to the dance activity.
Oh, yeah, and she said they do proms.
Oh, yes.
And I loved interviewing her because when we do the road trips, one thing we find out is this the person who does the Lake Robbins Ballroom? I'm sure the people at the Picket Fence Farm. You know, these are people who are not just in a vocation. It's a labor of love for them.
Precisely.
And it can be difficult financially and stressful and requires a lot of time. But there's some other motive for why they do that. And there's some other reason for going to work every day. And there's some historic background and almost obligation to continue this wonderful thing, whatever it is. It might be the Lake Robbins Ballroom. It might be something else.
And some of it's – go ahead.
No, when you look at these festivals too, as Emily pointed out so well, and what we know from your festival in Slater, from mine in Story City, it depends on people having the motivation and the obligation, but the love – to show up every year and volunteer and make sure that happens.
Yeah. It's a self-fulfillment for many people, and they know it's a contribution to the local settings, and it continues for the youth when they see the engagement of volunteers to do things that are historic of nature. And again, as you said, so it takes a great dedication on some very helpful people.
Well, you know, that's what we hope for, that people who are coming up now through high school and younger are seeing the behavior that's modeled by their elders that makes them feel obligated and interested and have that same love to do that so that 20 years from now, there's still a Pufferbilly Days. There's still a Scandinavian Days in Story City. There's still the festival in Slater because without those, your community dies a little bit.
And
it dies
it's becoming a little more difficult and difficult to get to some of those volunteers to step forward. We think because of our livelihood these days, we've got more time to engage. But the fact of the matter is there's many, many activities with the sports explosion and opportunities that the youth have as well as elders for participation. But there's a lot of things, community activities, church activities, family activities. Takes a good planner to be engaged and keep things underway and going that are important to life.
And so today, just for a moment, I want to say thank you to all the people so engaged, all the folks who are volunteering at Pufferbelly Days. That's coming up a week from this weekend, from the 10th to the 13th. Thank you to all the people in Howardstown, in my town, and all over Iowa who make sure these wonderful summer festivals go on every year. Well, I'll tell you what, you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and today we had in the studio Emily McCulloch of the Boone Chamber of Commerce talking about Pufferbelly Days. They're taking place on Thursday through Sunday, the 10th through the 13th of September, a week from this weekend. And you can find information about this festival on our website. So go to khoifm.org, and that's, again, khoifm.org, to find this Local Talk show and links to all the related information and contacts about the Pufferbelly Days festival coming up. Well, today we've been your hosts, Paul Wearson and
Howard Hammond.
Yes. Now, Jonah DeGeest is here at the board doing our engineering work today. And our theme song is Backtrackin' from the album The Ballad of Kate Shelley by Al Harris, Tom Richards. And, of course, that CD is connected to the history of trains in Boone and the Pufferbelly's celebration coming up. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. And if you like to join the team and need to contact us, do that at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or come down to the station right here at 410 Douglas, the old Pantorium in Ames. You can also contact us through our website, khoifm.org. As always, your role as a listener and your generous donations are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening today, and see you again on the radio.